Boatmakers created rivercraft, and sailors helped merchants ply their trade. Foresters and wood collectors would supply the timber for the vessels. Gatekeepers controlled access to a city, a temple, or a palace. Artisans such as basket makers, leather workers, furniture makers, or seal cutters would produce the crafts for private citizens or the palace, and there would be a different level of luxuriousness based on who the customer was. Certain quarters of the city devoted to craft production can be identified in the archaeological record. If they were especially disruptive, such as tanning, which is quite a smelly process to make leather, or if they had special technical requirements, such as large kilns to fire pottery, then they would be placed either outside of the city walls or in specific sections that were far from the majority of the urban population. One profession that we could expect to leave physical evidence is a scribe or a scribal school, and we've discussed scribal schools in connection with the Ur III period. At Nippur, a home was discovered that seems to be the site of a very small scribal school, so not a large school that was overseen by the palace, but this is the next step up from homeschooling. How do we distinguish between a scribal school and just a regular home of a scribe? Well, there are a couple of hints. First of all, there are a wide range of topics written on the tablets that were found in this particular home. And even more compelling are the numerous examples of misspellings and awkward signs that suggest that they were practice tablets by students who were not yet comfortable with the mastery of cuneiform that they would need to carry on their profession. Centralized craft production is best known from the Ur III period, when the administrative documents are so plentiful. At this time, 13,200 weavers were employed by the palace at Ur. Most of these were women who would bring their children to the palace while they worked, and we can imagine that these would be among the poorest women, perhaps widows, who had no other means of support, because they would be paid in rations. So the rations would be given to them and also to their children. One reason why so many workers were needed is that weaving was a very time-consuming process. It took a total of 400 days to create a garment weighing approximately 7 pounds. So if we have thousands of weavers working simultaneously at the palace, the output would be steady and productive, but it would require a significant amount of labor. Let's move now to look at a couple of examples of second millennium cities at Sippar and at Nuzi. These are quite different examples of cities, and they give an idea of the range of urban centers that were present in Mesopotamia. At Sippar, in central Mesopotamia, the discovery of different groups of tablets can yield valuable information about family histories and professions. So here there's been a study of what has survived in the houses. One home belonging to a certain Ur-Utu, who was the chief singer of lamentations of the goddess Anunitum, contained over 2,000 tablets. So remember, I've spoken along the way about how difficult it is to study tablets when they are not found in context. And here we get a sense of certainly an important member of the city of Sippar, but in his house he left behind 2,000 tablets. So this is an important archive for what one individual and his family controlled and the areas that he was active in that required receipts and other official documents. Ur-Utu was quite the real estate magnate. He owned extensive property in the area of Sippar. And the receipts that record the transactions between Ur-Utu and the individuals he bought land for usually supplied a history of the plot of the land. So, just like modern deeds, they will note past sales, any divisions of the property. So this gives us a sign of when large pieces of property were cut up into smaller pieces. And then finally, the current transfer of property is recorded.